Where were we?
So, and like I said, I just kept planting into orchards more, and then we would spray. But I remember when we first sprayed the tart cherry orchard up there, he had a sprayer what he used for spraying potatoes. It was a wood tank on it, and it was ground driven, the pump. And then you had the booms out to spray so many rows of potatoes at a time. So when we did the orchard, you'd drive down the row and you had a long hose that was hooked to the pressure of it with a boom, a handle and a boom, you've probably seen these, and then you'd walk behind and wave over to spray the trees as you were going down the row. Then we got one that had a engine on it, a tank, a different sprayer that was an orchard sprayer. With a,
but you still had the boom.
We still had the boom. And then we set up this last one that when we had the tractor to pull it. First it was the horses. Mm-hmm. When we had the tractor to pull it, then we built, Dad did, out behind a frame. And we put a pipe frame around behind the sprayer, and you could stand in that so you wouldn't fall off and spray the trees with the boom. And drive along with the tractor with a...
Took two people.
An engine on the sprayer running to run the pump. Mm-hmm. Eventually went from that, or I did, to a new sprayer steel tank, and then I had a Wisconsin engine on the back with a fan that would air driven like you have now.
And of course spraying took a lot of water, so Dad made a great big cistern behind the tool shed. And
still there.
It's still there, but I think it probably leaks now. And put eave troughs on all the outbuildings that went into this tank. And then he had sort of like a sump pump deal that you used your hand and you pumped that out and into the spray tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And if we ran out of water some years, we even went down here to the creek and pumped it out of the creek.
Mm-hmm. That was when you were
yes.
But Dad did have one of the pipes from where the pump from the well went up to the cistern and came so that you could open up and drain water into this.
Into that cistern.
But every year, I remember, I used it when I was there.
So were you talking two cisterns or just one cistern?
One big.
One
well,
big.
That was behind the buildings.
But then the little cistern
okay.
For the drinking
way
water
on top
was on
the
top
hill,
of the
from
hill.
The house and
okay, there's
the barns
two. Okay,
and all that.
Good.
But it was a pipe that he hooked off from that into this cistern in case we would run out of water, not enough rainwater,
mm-hmm.
that he could run it in.
That cistern held many gallons. It was as big as a swimming pool almost.
It was metal or it was stone?
Cement.
It was just dug.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't any cement on the sides because I remember I'd go in there and plaster it.
Mm.
Just plaster it, mud plaster the whole thing. And the floor was, maybe it was cement on the floor.
So you just plastered the ground then?
Plastered
the earth
walls. And that's the way the dug cistern is up on,
is it?
On top of the hill. But that's
what was your
like about, mm-hmm. Maybe it'd be 15 feet deep, 12, 15 feet deep,
mm-hmm.
and around. It was like from here to the wall around.
What was on the top?
And just.
Just a dome.
Dome.
Wood?
Brick and that, I suppose, dirt. And a cement cap with a cover that you could lift off. In fact, it was only wood bore 2x8s that were made into a cover because I've replaced them, all that stuff since then. I'd go down in there and plaster that so it wouldn't leak.
Plaster with like lime and water or what was your?
Cement, like it's
Portland
like mortar
cement?
Mix, you know, Portland cement.
Mm-hmm. So do you get an idea some time on dates when they probably did that? Your dad did the big cistern behind the barn?
Yeah, he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd have to be
in the
30s.
Yeah.
30s, yeah. Put that in.
No, was that a typical system? Other farms had cisterns too. They did that same thing.
No, people would have a creek, or they'd have a pond, or they'd have something to get their spring water from.
But you didn't on your land.
We didn't have any way of getting any amount of water for the spring.
I think
the well we had was only a 2-inch well that wouldn't pump enough water.
Dad was very resourceful, I think, and figuring out how he could do everything and be self-sufficient.
He was always working at something, building or doing this or doing that. Mm-hmm. Like the barn that's there, he made all the blocks for it. And I remember working with that, helping him,
mm-hmm.
and it was built in 1929. Now and very big, but
Agnes,
and that cistern had to have been there before then. Yeah, the cistern was there before then, because the top of the cistern was made. He had old car frames and stuff, metal in there as reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
and poured that cement slab, which is on there now. It's probably about that thick.
You're showing about what, 8 inches?
No, on the top of the cistern. And how I guess he had wood boards, I'm sure, because I remember there was still some of that in there. I used to take out when they did rot, but a inch wood boards to cover for to pour that cistern, the top on it. It was big. And steel, old steel stuff, anything he could have for reinforcement in it. But when he made the blocks for the barn, that was a nice smooth surface. And he had 2 by 8 by 10 foot, but probably the length of them, and this frame he had made. And what he'd do is lay a 2 by 8 here, 4 inches, there's another 2 by 8, and they were hooked on the ends.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all, these were in a row, and we'd mix cement in a hand mixer,
mm-hmm.
and we'd pour that all full. And then 2-3 days later, he'd take this one plank off and lift out these blocks. And every 4 foot on them, he had a piece of wood spreader between each block to make these. They're 3 foot by 4 inches by 8 inches. And after he got enough of these made, he'd pile them up. There's some out there to the farm yet, some of these blocks, and poured the floor for the barn that's there, done all this himself, made the whole thing for the stanchions and the gutters and all the stuff that he designed and made this. And the walls then, of course, he built the horse barn first before he got rid of the old barn,
mm-hmm.
for the cattle, and
was the
used that wing of the barn. Blocks are laid on the base. There's a 4-inch block, a 4-inch airspace, and a 4-inch block.
So it's a double wall.
It's a double wall. Spot.
Now, what year? Now, what do you call this big barn?
That's the one that's there today.
Okay, but you're talking about, and that's differentiated from a horse barn that's gone now.
Well, the horse barn was the wing, which was built first.
Okay.
And that's the wing that goes to the west. The big barn this way was built after that,
mm-hmm.
because they used the mow on that and everything for horses and cows.
Right. So what were the years that he was building the barn then?
Well, it was 1929 was when it was built.
Okay.
And I think the horse barn, I don't remember the other one, had to be 30 or 31.
Did he use his own, design his own, or did he use a plan from another?
I imagine he had some kind of a plan, or had some from someplace. But he built it up and made the wood frame for the windows. He put all those in, and the size of the windows, so they would fit. He must have bought windows. They're purchased windows. And then the frame, the bottom of it, once it was framed and the timbers across, the timber across in there, which is in there today, is about a 12 by 12 beach to where we have a shop now. was right from one wall through the other with steel posts holding this up through the length of the barn, like they used to do years ago. And that was all hewn out of the woodlot. And
hewn, you mean you got out the, you cut
chopped them square, he
okay,
did.
Okay, he hewed them with a broad axe, okay.
And they were probably, they're about 12 inches square, they were. And made the main timbers across to hold it.
So this was built first.
Okay.
And the horses had stalls here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a ladder here to go up in the hay mow.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the milk room.
That's.
And there was a hay chute here that the hay came down. And then there was the manure shed back here where the manure spreader could even go in. And then this was what we call the silage room, where the silo was.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the bull was, the sire. And these were where the stanchions were for the cattle. This was what we called the cow pen when she was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew she was due, you put her in there. And this was the calf pen with feeder things all along there.
This is the way it was made, and the timbers were on this side and this side, on each side of the what would be the feed alley down the middle.
Yeah, and we went with this, there you could run the, there he built this big cart that the silo went, silage went
yeah.
into, and then you could run it down here and give the cows
mm-hmm.
each a scoop.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a straw shed here, a chute here for straw, and there was a hay chute in the middle here.
Mm.
Where the hay came down for the cows. And this was the straw shed where the straw was blown.
Up above there, yeah.
And upstairs, the straw was put in here, and there was kind of a wall here. And this was for the hay.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a door here,
big
sliding door.
Now,
and
there.
You always left room here when you harvested the grain and shocked it. Then it was hauled and put up here so that the threshing machine could stand here.
Mm.
And then they pitched the bundles right out.
Mm.
And then the straw was blown up into the straw
the
place.
Hole in the top
and,
of the barn.
And the granary used to be here, and the fellows would carry the grain over to the granary by sacks.
Mm.
And the pig house was here, which it's still here, but the granary has been moved to over here now. It used to be here in the front yard.
That was way back.
Same building though.
Yeah,
got
moved.
Yeah.
Moved
yeah.
Over
it just
there.
It was moved first over to here and then it was moved over to here.
Hmm. And you have a sense that he built that, your grandfather built that? You have a sense that that's
the,
an old building?
The granary did, that was out by the road, had to have been there with my grandfather.
Yes, because I have a picture of him standing in front of that granary. And the threshing machine is standing here.
I think you showed that one too.
Yeah, I think I showed that to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the top, what was the, so the blocks went up to above the...
Well, like the height here
right.
of the wall.
So
then
what's
your
the construction?
Timbers on
yeah.
and then joists across close together because
mm-hmm.
it would carry all the weight of the hay.
Mm-hmm.
And that floor was put on there. It's a double floor. Then the barn, the raising of the barn was done with Paul Popa.
From
okay,
Cedar.
He was a barn builder from Cedar.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the material. This was, I don't think the material came from any of our property with the bottom material. And he made this hip roof barn. I
so
remember
it's not,
when
okay.
they were building this
mm-hmm.
and then put inch boards that are on the barn there now, the way they put them down and then they but originally was shingles. They shingled it because I remember as a kid I was climbing up on this here where they were shingling the shingles.
Cedar shingle?
Cedar shingles.
On the sides or just on the?
Sides and the top.
Okay.
See, it's a hip roof
right.
down.
Yeah.
And this was pretty straight up and down and a little lip out the bottom the way the barns are made.
Mm-hmm.
And this, they laid the boards so you had room, stick your toes through to crawl up. Done your shingling.
Mm.
As a kid, I remember crawling up and down on them.
Mm. Your mother wasn't watching.
You know, mother almost, oh, she just hated it. To get the hay up in, there was a door opening up here, and there was a track that came out here. And then at the end of the track, there was a wire that went down into the ground out here, and it had a big weight on it. So when you haul the hay in here, there were, you sent it up with a hay fork to this track. But in order to get it pulled back, this weight went up then, and then that came down and pulled that track back. And when you got to the bottom of the wagon load, there were slings. So you hooked the hooked into those slings.
All the hay at one time.
And it would curl it up and pull the sling way up and go in. Well, every spring, Dad had to go out here. He would put a plank out here, sticking right out into nowhere, and reach up to hook that
cable
on up there. Mother, I don't want to look, you know.
I used to do it.
Yes, it was precarious, I tell you.
You had everything up there. You had a place across where the doors would open. The doors would slide down on an angle. There was weights. These cement blocks that he made are still weights that are hanging in the barn to hold these doors to open and close them, to counterweight them, so you could slide them or work them without that much effort. And then on the top of that, between the framing of all this, is frames out to hold it, was there a big wide plank across that you would work off from, and then another plank that we'd throw out, and I'd throw a chain over the track that was sticking out over the end of the barn, and then flip that out far enough, and then put this other plank on top of that and nail it down on this plank to walk out there to do all this hooking.
One would think there was a better way, right?
Right.
Well, it all worked all right.
It worked fine, except I didn't want to go out there.
So we've talked about the horse, the barn, the granary. Is that a one-story granary or is it two?
They had it upstairs.
Two-story granary.
Okay. And that, we think, was old and it was used to store the...
And then the hog house, which is old. Right. That's still
the big house.
You have it. That's, you remember that when you were a child?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And then I remodeled it up some so that I could have two pens in it. And the logs are still there because I used to raise a lot of hogs, you know. I had big boars, great big guys that I'd keep on one side. And the brood sows or a lot of pigs in there and the rest in the barn. But
what other structures were there then?
But,
we haven't talked about the silo. What did your silo,
oh,
what was
the
that?
Silo was, the blocks were made right there at the silo. They were kind of a half-curved block.
You guys made them, or the silo makers?
I don't know who made them. It was either my dad did it early when the old barn was there. It was not far from the old barn, so it was there old when I remember anything.
But it's cement,
so
okay.
It probably around 1900 or after that, who knows.
Any other buildings?
There was some.
A well house.
The well house.
Which is there
and,
yet today.
And the tool shed was there, and the storage and the chicken coop.
Coop was built the same. Maybe that was built before the barn, because it's the same, was made out of the same 4-inch blocks, the same process as the barn and shed on the side of the barn was. That was all, my dad made all those, because we'd haul, go over and shovel a wagon full with a team in the pit, which is out, you can see the pit on the farm, and haul it home, and then shovel it into the mixer and dump it in there to make the blocks. It was just a plain wagon with an old steel wheel wagon at that time.
When you did sugar, where did you do it then?
Just by the house or in the house for when we started.
Mother cooked some in the kitchen, and it got so humid in there, then it started dripping from the ceiling. So then Uncle Lud built us a pen. He had the casket factory in Travers, and he built this long pen, and we put up some cement blocks, and we set the pen on that. Mm-hmm. We did it outdoors. But then she kind of finished it off in the house. Mm-hmm. But it was just for ourselves.
We haven't talked about. You getting tired? Okay. Watch my tape here. When you were a child, though, okay, your father, he worked out, he got cash by trying to figure out, did your great-grandfather work out too? Or was the farm at that point supporting the family?
They had to.
Well,
they'd go and cut logs or cut wood, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Dad worked on Manitou Island doing logging, and he also worked in the UP at one time,
mm-hmm.
In the lumber
before
camp
he was
up
married.
There. And
but you always needed some other source of income other than the farm.
Well, you had to do diversified farming.
Mm-hmm.
If one crop failed you, you had something else. And I think they were very self-sufficient. About the only thing they needed at the grocery store was their coffee and the sugar,
mm-hmm.
really.
Flour.
And flour.
Colin, did they ever have sheep?
At one time, Mother would tell about there was a sheep there.
Mm-hmm.
He got to bunting so bad that they got rid of it.
But they never tried to produce any of their own wool.
And Grandma did carding, and I think they probably had some sheep that they could do their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had their own wool. They always liked to have one black sheep so that they would have gray wool. They'd mix that in with the white.
But they'd do their own spinning of yarn and make everything.
Yeah, Grandma spun a lot.
Wow.
I still have her spinning wheel.
So you got a pretty good road to Northport then take your apples in, and I guess
just
we haven't talked
about just a dirt road.
Just a dirt two-track road.
Now before Magnus, or when you were a child, it was Magnus who was doing the potatoes.
Yeah.
Was that pretty much steady, or was there something
Well, Magnus had orchards.
Right.
He had an orchard up above where the Union Church is, just south of the Union Church. He had a solitary orchard up there, and then he had the orchards in Empire. And the farm and building and cattle over there is what he did. But he helped my dad, I guess, some on the farm they did. But I remember my father's twin brother was Fred Fredrickson, that had the gas station in Northport. And they run a livery, Fred and Ole, and my dad helped them on some of that. I know they'd all work together to, they'd go and log out where the state park is, for the lumber mills that were here and things, and then Ole went and run the Northport Point and built all the homes out there is what he did, and Fred stayed here and ended up with the gasoline station where the livery was, because they would haul the people, you know, in buggies and stuff like that. And
okay, so here's an interesting thing. It was your twin, how did the brothers decide who was going to stay on the farm?
I don't know. My dad stayed, and Fred went.
And both seemed happy with that arrangement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Fred, that would have been Oren's father.
Not Fred, Ole.
Ole
was Oren's father. Fred is Charlene Rogers' father.
Okay.
And he was married twice. He had three children, and his first wife died when the third child was born. And then he married Dolly Lalonde, or Jane Lalonde, and had Charlene. But
one of his first kids.
His first wife had three children, Cedric and Alvin and Rhoda.
So we didn't even do that. So your father had a twin brother, and then there was another brother.
No.
Who else was in that family? Were there any other brothers?
Aunt. Sister.
Christine. Christine Hawkins, and she's had Harry Hawkins. Did you ever know Harry Hawkins and Frederick? And Harry Hawkins' daughter is Joanne Morgan, and Mrs. Basil Stoll.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting thing, that, you know, see how you pass families, how the farms pass down today, you know?
Yes.
Get back onto transportation to finish that topic. So you brought stuff when you were a child, you remember things going on the road. Did you ever take any of your crops to the...
We hauled potatoes to the railroad in Northport.
Was there a potato buying station, or did they go straight to the railroad?
Where the peer group is now was a place that bought potatoes and loaded in railroad cars there. And that's where the cherry factory was, too, originally. But I don't remember anything more than potatoes that they ever sold.
But you still transported first by horse and then by truck. Your produce right to Northport, not too far away.
Yeah. 2 miles, about.
The roads were very muddy when spring came because they were just dirt roads. And I can remember when we went to school in the spring with the motorized bus, it would be froze up in the morning and you had to pick your rut or you didn't turn the corner where you wanted to.
Mm.
And it would be so wet, just you'd sink down and get almost stuck, you know.
Ruts would be that deep.
Wow.
But then I think it was in the 40s when the WPA came in and built the road.
Oh, so that was a WPA project?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they graveled it. And we spent time that summer pulling cars out of the gravel because they'd get stuck in the gravel. It was so loose, it was about that deep. And eventually then they did blacktop it.
Just visit that topic a little bit. The WPA workers, are they local people? Or were they brought in from other places?
I think some of them were.
Just curious. Do you ever, was any of your produce from your farm go out by boat?
Except the only thing was boats would come in here to the Northport Cherry Factory, and our cherries that were canned down here in Northport, they had the pier there, and I remember a Norwegian boat in there, my dad down there talking Norwegian with them when they loaded cases of cherries on that cherry boat.
I think probably back when Andrew, if he had any potatoes, they did, schooners would come in and get them. And they would, Mother often talked about the Indians with their canoes hauled things from the shore out to the schooners for shipping.
Mm-hmm. Used them like lighters then.
Yeah.
So transportation was never a concern. Let's go with hired labor. You said Steiner came and worked sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Who else? So that was... Who else did you have? Did you always have some extra help when you were children on the farm?
Not always, but we had Jacob Daniels was an Indian. He moved over here from over by Gaylord or Grayling someplace, and Dad had to go and get him in an old pickup. And I forget, was it Elijah Wanagijic that rode along? Because then... I don't know if he was legally married to Mary Antoine, but he lived with Mary
Antoine.
Part
of the Wanagishiks that are out there.
And anyway, Dad said he would drive over and get him, and this Wanagishik boy was to ride along, and they started in the dark, and the lights went out over by Acme, and so they had a flashlight, but he would keep falling asleep, and the flashlight would fall down. Dad said... And then the radiator went dry, so they bailed water out of the creek. They finally got there, and Dad thought it was all those wood piles, but what they were was ore.
Hmm.
Anyway, they stayed overnight, and the next day they came back. It was kind of a little pickup they had with all his supplies. Anyway, he worked for us for many years. It was a very...
He took care of the horses.
He would be down in the barn cradling or, you know, currying those horses in the morning when we'd get up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the evening, he would stand on the corner of the tool shed and he'd tell us what the weather was going to be the next day.
He lived over the hill from us, well, about a mile behind us.
Somebody else's house or your house? The house you had built for him?
Yeah, where our houses are on the farm. He went west over toward Lake Michigan. His house was up by where the Wanagishiks live today.
Okay.
But he'd walk over the hills to
where Josephine lives.
But you don't know if he was related to them or not. Probably was.
Well,
some way or another, I don't know.
We considered him Mary Antoine's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he stopped working, we had...
What year's up? Can you give me some...
I suppose it would be in the 20s or 30s.
Late
30s. 30s, I suppose. And then we had...
the horses there all the time.
Joe... What was his name? Last name. Joe Jacobson. Worked for us too for a while. We had different people work. Robert Winowiski, Carol Driswicki's dad worked before he was married. Steiner worked some.
But you always needed that extra help.
Needed some extra help, and of course, harvest time we had the migrants, but the colored that would come in on the train that would pick fruit.
Mm-hmm. We had mostly black pickers
at that time,
until George got Mexicans in then.
But we had one fellow,